I'm 23 and we've been dating for 4 years without any big fights, and we have an amazing sex life. We know each other's bodies and we never have bad sex. But I want to try new things, and we have gotten around to trying most things except talk dirty.
Yeah, you like that?
Which
you fucking slut.
Really turns
like
me
that?
On.
You like that?
Stop flirting with her.
No, no, I'm telling her what she wants to hear.
No, but not from you.
You little whore.
She wants it from her boyfriend.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's inappropriate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Yo, what's up? Steve Yin here.
Icebreaker is what people call me a lot because I just break the ice.
I think you're a ball breaker, man. But not really an icebreaker.
Well, what are the Iceman's balls made of?
Steel.
Steel?
Mm-hmm.
Boring.
Didn't think of that, did you? Didn't think it was going
to
be
no,
steel,
because
did
doesn't
you?
Make sense to your branding. Whoever created that brand should just like rethink their existence.
Hey, part of you, you're actually part of my brand with the balls thing, because you've told everyone I have huge, gigantic balls.
Oh yeah, you do have huge balls. They're made of ice, and I'm the icebreaker.
Okay, we can move on.
I love you. All right, so we're answering some of your very coveted, highly requested questions. Almost like comments, but they're questions.
They're coveted.
They're highly coveted. The answers are coveted.
Yeah.
Not the questions.
No.
The answers.
Yes. And especially your long-winded questions are not coveted.
And we are experts in every single area. We are just
you can take it
filled
all to the
with
bank.
Knowledge yep. and wisdom that you need to take 100% seriously.
You take it to the bank, you slide it to the teller, and then you say,
let me collect.
You're welcome. And I'll take everything that you got here. And then they will hook you up.
They hook you up with security
that's
that
right.
escorts you out of the building.
That's
and that's what we're here for. That's what we see.
Always.
That's what we are here to do.
Always.
All right, I'm going to start
off. Hey, can you wear masks now in a bank? Can I wear a handkerchief around my mouth like that now?
I guess so. I haven't tried to go to a bank.
Like, you're supposed to, right?
I think you can go to the ATMs, but I don't know if you
aren't
can.
You supposed to dress like a robber to go to the bank now?
Yeah, basically.
It's pretty crazy. All right.
Well, I'm going to start off, actually, with a comment, not a question, because it is a thank you. So this is from Liz, and she says, hello, I will start out with a compliment for you guys, because we love compliments,
thank
so thank you.
You
so much. I absolutely love your podcast. I'll put it on when I'm doing dishes, driving to work, or just relaxing on the couch with my dog. You guys always keep it real, and I admire the work you do, especially the relationship you both have. Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Which leads me to the purpose of this email. I don't have a question, but I do want to thank you both. In episode number 98, you talked a lot about your own behaviors towards your partners and how you do a lot of self-reflection and try to work on yourself before you actually take it out on your loved one. And that whole thing really caught my attention because I was in a situation where I was just getting yelled at all the time and everything was nitpicked and there were more unhappy days than happy because nothing I was doing was right. It's been just shy of 3 years with a bunch of ups and downs that were emotionally stressing me out, and I knew I deserved better. But it was hard because there were those good moments and I knew there were other factors affecting his stress level, but not once did he try to make me feel bad about something. Did he not try to make me feel bad about something?
Got it.
And then in one episode, Steve talked about how he broke up with a girl the night before Christmas and how he did it. And wouldn't you know, that was the one thing that I needed. So as of today, I am single and happy and healthy. And per your standard advice, I broke up.
Good job. But listen, break up, everybody. If you're with somebody that you love,
break up. If you're very
End
happy,
it.
Break up.
That's what we're all
if
about
you're
here.
Being fulfilled, break up.
No.
No. No, if you are unhappy and you deserve better, you should break up. But
and you can even do it the day of Christmas. You don't need to wait the night before Christmas. You can do it on Christmas Day, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
New Christmas, new you. But I just wanted you both to know that folks do really appreciate the things you say, and I hope we all see the 300th episode and the 500th and so on, and that you keep giving the world this positivity. You're the best, Liz.
We love
you,
Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Key part to that story is that I broke up with her the day before Christmas, and my old man told me, you will always regret this for the rest of your life. And I never did. Sometimes your parents don't have good advice.
Very true.
I didn't regret it the week after. I didn't regret it the month after, year after. I don't regret it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
Setting yourself free is not ever something regrettable.
No, and I know more about the circumstances of what I'm going through than my old man did.
Right.
But the audacity of telling somebody, and I love you, Dad, but the audacity of telling your kid that they'll regret something for the rest of their life is a fucking, like, just so what? I would get back with this chick? Like,
yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that. That's horrible advice. I love
Sometimes
my dad.
Sometimes people project onto others what they're going through.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think that my dad should break up with my mom. They should break up. Hey, just carrying that bit to the end. All the way across the finish line.
Right. All right. So the first question today comes from Anonymous. Please help. My boyfriend won't talk dirty to me. Hi, Nikki and Steve. My boyfriend and I are huge fans of STDTY, and we have the same dynamic you two have in our relationship. We are very in love and never fight. Awesome. You should break up. Just kidding.
She sounds like a fucking slut.
I'm 23, and we've been dating for 4 years without any big fights, and we have an amazing sex life. We know each other's bodies, and we never have bad sex. But I want to try new things, and we have gotten around to trying most things except talk dirty.
Yeah, you like that, you fucking slut?
Really turns like me
that?
On.
You like that?
Stop flirting with her.
No, I'm telling her what she wants to hear.
No, like, but not from you.
You little whore.
She wants it from her boyfriend.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's inappropriate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've tried communicating to him about how I would never judge and how bad I want this, but he won't budge. I don't want to push him to do something he's uncomfortable with. Is there any suggestion to get him out of his comfort zone and still feel okay? Thank you. I try to keep it short, but I have to say I love you guys. Listen to you all day at my work. Oh my God.
We love you. I don't know. Thank you, Anonymous. I don't know if I have an answer. I really just have a question.
What's your question?
Does she like big old balls?
Don't do this.
Do you like big balls?
Please stop. It's not appropriate.
You whore.
Stop it.
Okay.
That is not consensual. She gave consent to her boyfriend, not to you.
I was trying to help her.
But it's not to you.
No, but he can quote me.
So if someone writes in and they're like, I'm not getting laid enough, and I'm like, come over here, big boy, I will get you laid.
Well, no, that's messed up. I'm trying to help her with dirty talk. I'm trying to help her.
That's still a part of their sex life.
I'm trying to help this filthy slut with her dirty talk.
Stop it. Clearly there's something he's not comfortable with. And I guess you have to communicate until you find out exactly what that is, because it might be that he's embarrassed. It might be that he's
embarrassed.
Does, yeah.
It's got to be that.
For sure.
He probably sees himself a certain way and feels like he's being silly.
Yeah. I mean, and she said that she won't judge him at all, but maybe he doesn't believe that. I don't know. I mean, I never want people to be pushed out of their comfort zone in a way that it damages them mentally or emotionally. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, if I didn't like being submissive and you were like, be submissive, I don't know if I would.
That's hard. Really, yeah.
Budge.
If I wanted you to be a dominant or whatever, that would be hard.
If something kind of hurts my, your own personal like way that you
it's
feel
your
about
flow.
Yourself. Yeah. I don't know.
You don't like, for example, you don't like being on top at all.
No,
I don't mind that you don't like it.
Yeah.
But
if you were someone that really needed me to boss you around and be on top.
I would hate it.
Like if you were a guy that needed me to whip you, for example.
I would, oh God.
I don't think I could do it because I don't like hurting people at all. Like I don't think I could hurt you physically.
I could hurt you.
People that have that kink, I'm not kink shaming them at all.
No, not at all. It's just not for me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe it's just not for him. Maybe something about it makes him feel like he's disrespecting you and that kind of like he hasn't been able to tackle that mentally yet.
Yeah.
Because especially during this era of time with the Me Too movement, and there's a lot of guys that I know right now that are scared of.
Yeah, choking bitches.
Sure.
Guys don't want to choke bitches
like we used to.
In the 90s, you could choke a bitch. You could choke her as much as you wanted.
Right.
Nowadays,
so boring.
You gotta
now
get a fucking permission slip or something.
You gotta get a permit from the city.
You know what I mean? You gotta have the city fucking come check your house out before you start choking a bitch.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you guys have this problem, because obviously you've been in a relationship for 4 years at this point. But you're 23. He's still very young. I think maybe like,
how old is he?
I would assume the same age. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But, you know, maybe there's just some sort of blockages that.
Find out what's really going on. Ask him. This is like any argument that we've ever had, right? Mm-hmm. What's it really about? Like, what's really holding him back from being able to call you the filthy slut that you need to be called? Because you're obviously a filthy slut.
He might not even know what it is.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think so. So if he can get through that, then I think he'll know.
What a filthy slut she is?
Thank you.
Right.
At last.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he'll be able to, you know, pay her $2 to blow him or something.
Expensive.
She wants. Or he's like, oh, no, I'm going half on this one because you're too dirty. Maybe I'll give you $1. Maybe you give me $1.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Okay. So.
That was really fun for me. Thank you. That's cathartic.
Advice, how to be a better girlfriend, from Anonymous. Dear Sticky, I understand you take compliments in exchange for advice, so here it goes. I love the podcast and the Sticky Show, or basically anything where you two get to show off your ridiculous chemistry and comedic skills together. 5 stars. Oh my God, thank you so much.
That's a lot of stars.
This is a lovely compliment, Anonymous. Anyway, here's my question. My boyfriend, 27, and I, 26, have been together for over a year and a half, and we've been living together for about half of that. I've known after our first date that he was the one I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. We had immediate chemistry, share the same values and hobbies, and he makes me laugh harder than anyone else I've ever been with. What really solidified all this is when he won over my rescue cat, who was scared of most other people. That is a big win.
It's huge.
So over the course of our relationship, he's brought up things that I do or don't do that he says make him feel undervalued or unfairly balance the relationship. The two main pieces of feedback he gives me are that he wants me to be more vocal about how I'm feeling and that I don't initiate sex enough, which makes him feel like all the pressure is on him. Both of these are very valid, reasonable concerns, but for whatever reason, I'm having a hard time actually improving, and it's very frustrating for both of us because we keep having the exact same conversation
about
it.
He's a man. He wants to feel wanted.
Sure. Yeah. I've tried talking to a couple different therapists about it, but their advice was, in so many words, just do it. This doesn't really help me because it's not like I'm afraid of speaking my mind, but it's more that I have a hard time recognizing feelings to share in the first place. Similarly, a lot of times sex just isn't on my mind, and I'm starting to wonder if I have low libido since it's a possible side effect of my anxiety medication. I'm very discouraged about trying out new therapists because the ones I've had so far haven't helped me to get to the root of the problem. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the situation from an outsider's perspective. Have either of you experienced something like this? If so, how did you address it? I can know how important to him that I address these things, but I'm worried that if I can't, that at some point it will mean the end of our relationship. Any advice you have would be great help.
This is one of the most common problems in all relationships is like
one person wants sex more.
Yeah, or communicating when people want sex and not communicating when people want sex. We've had this issue in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Like where
we both wanted it,
but we didn't communicate it effectively to each other.
And the timing was just off.
Yeah, so this shit happens to everybody. But okay, so let me ask you this. Sounds like you have a low libido. Maybe you think it's tied into your anxiety medication.
I think it might be. I think you might have hit the nail on the head.
I think you did, but does that mean low libido does not mean no libido? So I'm wondering when you do feel the desire for sex.
Yeah.
If you could communicate that to him when you feel that, I think that that's a step forward.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's not happening right now.
And I also wonder how much he's holding resentment. Because I've been on both sides of this coin before. One relationship where the guy that I was with, he wanted it more than me. And then it would get frustrated that I didn't want it when he wanted it. And then over time, I started getting
resentful
that like... Like
but you made it feel bad.
He would pressure me too much. And then the more he would pressure me, the less I would want it.
Of course.
So then I thought I had low libido when I very much don't.
No.
But I thought I did because I never wanted to have sex with him. And I loved him. Like, I really loved him.
Easy.
I did think I was going to marry him at one point.
Easy.
But I just didn't. I slowly didn't want to have sex with him more and more and more to the point where we didn't have sex ever. And he would get very frustrated.
That's
valid that he was frustrated. But his frustration didn't make me want it.
Of course
more.
Not. Nobody wants to see a man fucking bitching about something,
and
first
also,
of all. And by bitching about it, right, I just mean, like, why won't you fuck me is such a lame thing. I'm sorry.
He would get jealous of me spending time with Franklin because it was like, I felt like I gave Franklin more attention than him. And then
give Franklin more attention than anything.
True.
But so what? It's a cat. You're fine.
And it's not related to sex
or
my sex drive at all.
Right.
The other thing is like when he wasn't home, I would get horny and I'd be like, oh, when he comes home, I'll finally be in the mood. And then he would come home and just something about his presence, like he wanted it too much in a way that was like clingy and needy and not sexy.
That's what I mean.
To me,
nobody wants a needy person.
It turned me off,
guy or girl. Nobody wants the
right.
needy shit.
Because then the next relationship, I was on the other side of that coin where I wanted it more than him, and the more he rejected me, the more I would get like really insecure about it and like and kind of like more pressure-y. Like I would count the days since we've had it, and it was just like,
you're
what the fuck is going on? Yeah, I was getting pissed,
stewing.
And then nobody gets turned on at someone that's pissed.
No.
Right, so then that was...
Well, I would.
That was another... I was building resentment because I didn't feel sexy as a young woman in the peak of my...
You're in your peak now, baby.
Oh, thank you. But I was in my mid-20s. It was like the prime time where my boyfriend who's living with me should want to fuck me, and he never wanted it.
Right.
So... I've been on both sides, and I think the main thing is the whole person needing it more. Like, and the more they don't get it, the more they like get mad at you for not having it.
Yeah, well, and if then you're sitting there and you're in your home with this person, say you live together.
Yeah.
And they're around you, orbiting you.
And there's animosity.
Yeah. It sucks to be home. It sucks to be around them. They don't know it, but they've created this pressure storm that makes you feel like you can't be anywhere without feeling this pressure.
Yeah.
And fuck that shit. Like, it sucks. So it's about being honest about your feelings. And this person's being honest about their feelings, but they're keeping it at the tip of their tongue at all times.
Mm-hmm.
How that is so destructive, by the way. It's like when you're working on something as a couple, if I was to bring up to you a repeat argument constantly,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get numb to my argument. You're right. going to just be like, okay, I get it already. Fuck.
Especially if I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be working on.
Right.
Like, I'm just like supposed to be working case. On being turned on more. Like, I'm, you know, and I get it. And also, I'm guilty of being that other person that was pressuring my partner to have sex with me all the time, and they didn't want it, and I took it very personally, and it just, you know, grew. That like, animosity really grew, and, you know, was not healthy for a relationship.
You can't do that to a person, right?
No.
You can't just keep hitting them and hitting them and hitting them and hitting them.
It doesn't create an environment where you want to have sex.
You have to treat them like an adult. You have to tell them how you're feeling, what it does to you. That when you feel shut down, what it does to you and how you feel about it. And then you gotta like allow some time for them to come like to the resolution on their own.
Right.
Like you're introducing the problem to them. You're not constantly inundating them with the problem. That's a mistake. That's where people fuck up.
Yeah. And I mean, you might also want to examine, like, maybe you aren't sexually attracted to them. Like, maybe there isn't chemistry anymore. At some point, like, so the first one where I never wanted to have sex and my boyfriend always did, we were together for 5 years and I was like, I can't see us having a good sex life for, like, if we got married, I wouldn't be able to spend the rest of my life with this person not ever having sex with them.
That's why I have such a tough time with, and no offense to you out there who got married without having sex first, but man, that one is hard for me to consider, because sex is such an important thing.
It is. And
until you're fucking 70 or whatever.
The intimacy, really, that exactly. comes with that. The connection, that chemistry.
You have a connection on a different level that is almost unexplainable once you like physically connect with them like that.
Right.
So.
And sometimes you get a dud. Like, so yeah. If you don't know before you get married, and now you're legally bound to someone for the rest of your life.
Yeah, if they're going to kiss you and you don't know it yet, but they start kissing you with their tongue, like stabbing like that, ew. Like fucking finger stabbing your mouth with
yeah.
their tongue. Then
the darting like a lizard.
Right. Like my sister and her husband at their wedding. Ah, see, you were there.
No, I wasn't. That was your ex. Thanks a lot.
Well, it's like you were there because that was the proper reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking nuts, man. By the way, I love my sister and her boyfriend and her husband now, but... Yeah, I wish I never saw that. That's all. I just wish I never saw them kissing. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, and also similarly to you, I went to therapists in the first one, and my therapist was like, you should try like doing things to spice it up, like do some role playing. And the thought of doing role playing with him made me want to vomit. So that's how I knew maybe this is irreparable. Irreparable.
Irreconcilable.
Because then I cried too, because I wanted this relationship to work out. But she basically said, if the thought of doing that or anything to spice it up makes me want to vomit,
break up. She said break up.
Well, she said, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to ever go back to you being sexually attracted to him. Because at that point,
AKA,
break up. Or be miserable forever.
Hey, that's an option.
So that is an option.
Some people do like that one.
Yeah. Some people do choose that one. A frequent amount of people choose that one.
Yes.
And then they kind of like tell themselves things to like make it feel better. Like all relationships are a struggle.
Really bad.
All relationships are hard work.
I'm going to sit here and make myself feel better, but it really does nothing to my relationship.
Relationships are a lot of work.
Work. Marriage is work. Yeah. You have to put in the work.
It's a lot of work, very little return. So like that's just how marriages are.
I'm like, marriage is not a 9-to-5, bro.
It doesn't have to be that.
Yeah. No.
So anyway, I hope that helps you. I don't really know the exact situation, but the next question starts with, help me stop jacking off.
Oh, hi, Nikki and Steve. That's a good opener.
Yes. I love these titles.
It's great.
I'm just going with the catchiest titles.
You already get it.
First of all, love you guys and love the podcast. You guys are couple goals, and yes, I'm here for the vibe. Woo!
Hell yeah.
I'm a 22-year-old single male, and I think I beat the meat too much. It is becoming a problem, dare I say, an addiction. I masturbate and watch porn about 2 to 3 times a day, and now that we have been in self-isolation, I've been doing it a lot more. It is affecting my relationships and my sex life. When I do have sex with a person, I have a harder time climaxing, and I oftentimes feel embarrassed for not being able to finish with another person. And when I masturbate and finish to porn, I often times feel disgusted with myself and immediately want to clear my history. I try to block all porn sites, but sometimes I stumble upon porn on Twitter or something hot I see online, and when it gets me feeling horny, I just have to immediately watch porn and jerk off to relieve the feeling. My question is, how can I stop watching porn and beating the meat? What is a healthy amount of porn and masturbation? Is there one? I want to regain control of my sex life and sensitivity in my penis. Also, I would like to remain anonymous, please. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you are all staying safe during this pandemic.
Why does he want to remain anonymous? No, I'm kidding. First of all, awesome question. I don't know one guy or girl who doesn't go through a period where they're just like fucking jerking off all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like for a stretch where you're just like, you're bored or you're sad or you're anxious about something.
I don't know. There are a lot of women who haven't, but I think it's just because it wasn't as explored back when we were in high school.
Right.
I think nowadays there's a lot more sexual positivity and like empowerment.
Yes.
So girls today probably go through those stretches.
True, true, true.
But I remember like feeling like an odd one out when I used to masturbate a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, in my 20s, I remember having a whole stretch of wanting to jerk off all the time. And yeah, like you said, it's just not...
There's an emptiness after.
Yeah. He recognizes the problem.
Totally.
You don't have to tell him what the problem is. But how does he stop it? It's discipline.
Yeah. I mean... Addiction is hard because I feel the same way. When I was masturbating multiple times a day to porn, it was hard to stop because you get used to this routine.
Mm-hmm.
So like your body almost craves that. Like
right.
your body gets used to like needing to orgasm 3 times, 5 times a day. And I think weaning yourself off.
Really nice.
Excuse the pun.
That's a pun that I can go for.
Oh, okay. I never know which ones you're going to like.
No, that was really clever.
Okay. You know, doing like seriously, like if your average is 2 to 3 times, maybe try it once a day. See how that works for you.
He's like, thanks, doc.
And then try it every other
day. I like my doctor. He's like, once a day, jerk off once.
And every other day. And then also, for me, I felt like I would get to the point where I was only like getting turned on by gangbang porn, like extreme.
Yeah, you went
there.
You know, you went
where
there.
It was like,
for me, it was dog fucking. I only got off to watching girls getting pounded by dogs eventually.
Yeah, whatever.
And then cats.
Whatever
and then,
is your thing.
And then tree frogs.
Cats?
Which is confusing.
Dude, cat penises, I've only seen one once. But it's like the size of
you never seen
a little baby Christmas
a girl
light.
Getting gangbanged by cats?
No.
It's fucking crazy shit, dude.
How long does it take the cats to finish?
It takes a long time.
Wow.
Cats go in on
you're really
things.
Into this collection of cat
porn. Yeah, they
cat
go in
porn.
On it.
Okay. All right, so yeah, what I was saying before I was interrupted by animal porn talk was that things started getting too extreme, and that's why it's harder to appreciate regular sex because it's so extreme in porn. And so when your brain is used to getting turned on by these like extreme things or these like girls acting not how women typically act, you know, when they're having sex.
Listen, I have talked to porn stars. I used to do videos with porn stars a lot. The porn stars don't really like it. So does that help you a little bit? Like what you're watching is dramatized and the girls are not coming that hard, right? And so, or they're not even coming. So the idea that, and I don't know if that necessarily helps you, but it does, it should help you to know that it's fake. What you're seeing is fake. And that it's keeping you from having a deeper relationship with your significant other. And then also it helps to know, like, don't you get a sense of accomplishment when you don't do something that you feel like you have to do?
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you can get that going for 3 days in a row, all I'm asking you, brother, is to do me a favor. Do me a big solid. Do your buddy Steve Green a solid. Don't jerk off for 3 days straight, okay? 3 days straight.
Yeah.
At the end of those 3 days, I want you to write down how you feel and send it to us. And if you feel better on the end of that third day than you felt
going into it,
then that's the right step to take in life.
Yeah, it's right? like anything. Like breaking a sugar addiction is right. so hard. The first day, my body is going nuts. It's like begging me. It's like, please just give me have like a corner of a chocolate piece, like just a little tiny bit of sugar. And you just keep saying no to it. And it's the hardest fucking thing. It's like your body's throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it throws a tantrum, but it's like a little easier to say no because you already went... A whole day.
We got through the whole night last night. So we might as well go tomorrow.
And I feel like I don't want to waste that whole day that I said no. You know, I don't want that to be in vain if I just give in to it today. So it helps me go the whole 3 days. And then after 3 days, my body just stops throwing the tantrum.
Yeah, I find personally that I can make a new routine in 3 days. And I'm pretty good at that.
They say it takes 21 days to break a habit.
I can see that, man. But I'm talking about in the interim of building right. this new
3 days
routine.
The first 3 days is the hardest.
And by the way, it doesn't sound like a lot of time either. I know that for him, he's probably like, I could probably do 3 days. And that's all I'm saying is write down at the end of it how you're feeling. Send it to us so that we can help other people with it. But then I want you to make that your desktop background on your computer, okay? And I know that you feel like, well, I don't want to talk too much about how I'm jerking off and stuff. Don't talk about that in this quote. Talk about how you feel right now having done this. Talk mm-hmm. about, write down how you feel, and then when you look at it on your desktop background of your computer, the device that you use to jerk off or whatever your phone is or whatever, make it your phone background. But then every time you look at it, you're going to remember, this is how I felt not doing this thing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so much more worth it to feel this way than it is to feel the first way.
Right. Or even replacing it with another thing. You know, when people are trying to break cigarette addictions and then there's that one, that was the one president that would replace it with jelly beans. Every time he craved a cigarette, he would eat a jelly bean.
No kidding. Had something to be like Taft. That. Had to be Taft.
Yeah, I don't remember what president it was, but I just always thought that was interesting. Like he did exchange one vice for another, because then he probably had to break his sugar addiction.
Got stuck in a bathtub.
Yeah, but I don't know what that means.
Taft got stuck in the bathtub because he's so big, probably because he's trying to quit.
Oh, I see. So hard,
yeah.
Because it's weird, because I was going to recommend taking a bath instead of jacking off. Which
That's
is really
wild.
Weird. Yeah. Because,
good group mind here.
Just something that gives you a feeling of that euphoric pleasure that you feel during an orgasm, something that replaces that.
That's great.
So for me, like creativity stuff, hobbies, or taking a bath, just something physically soothing, something like that.
So you heard it here, man. I told you the 3-day method and make it your background on your computer. Nikki's like, eat a jelly belly every time you want to jerk off.
There you go.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. Let us know how it works out for you. All right. So the next one is, girlfriend broke up with me because I am too attractive.
Oh.
We'll talk about that one right after this break.
That's so good. We'll be right back. That's good.
Right?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen.
That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right, so this guy's girlfriend broke up with him because he's too attractive. Let's sick. Hear what he's got to say.
This is so sick.
I would like to stay anonymous if this gets put into the podcast. You got it?
You got hey. It, hot dude.
Hey, Steve and Nikki, you guys are the best, and y'all have the best personality. Oh, my God, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Hot guy.
We're
being complimented by a hot guy is so much it's better than getting complimented by an UGG.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So a little background info behind my question. I was in a year-long relationship with this amazing girl. Our entire relationship was great. I trusted her, and we had very good communication. So a few weeks ago, just before quarantine started, she breaks up with me. With the reasoning, while crying, she tells me something along the lines of, "You are way too attractive. Every time we go out, you get attention from other girls, and it makes me feel insecure." Then I'm like, this makes no sense at all. I never in my life heard of someone breaking up with someone because they're too attractive. Have I ever broken your trust? You could even look through my phone. Is there someone else? Then she's like, oh God, no, there's no one else. You're really special, but it makes me feel insecure. I feel like I'm not worthy. I don't want to put myself in situations where I'm going to feel insecure. I've been hurt in the past. You getting attention from other girls keeps making me feel insecure and scared. And that's the talking points of the convo. The thing that hurts me is that I genuinely cared for this girl and thought she was so beautiful. To add on, I never ever thought about cheating on her, so it's hard for me to wrap my head around this idea. My question is, do you think the reason she broke up with me was the truth, or she didn't tell me the entire truth? Because this reason is surreal to me, and I've never heard of this happening before.
This is, first of all, if this chick made this up, this is the best way to break up with somebody I've ever heard of in my
so
whole
true.
Life. Hey, listen.
Because if she's cheating on him, and she's like, listen, you're
baby,
just too hot.
You're too fucking hot for me. You're so goddamn hot. It drives me nuts. That is the best letdown anyone could ever get, ever.
You know what it is, though, is that I don't think she was lying to you because I have met people, a lot of people, like a too high amount of people who have broken up with their partners because they didn't feel like they were good enough for them. Or they would do something to subconsciously sabotage the relationship so that their partner would break up with them.
I see a lot of that.
Because it was, I want to leave them before they leave me.
Yes.
Because they couldn't handle being dumped or rejected, and they felt like this person was way too good for them, so they'd rather break up with you before you break up with them. Inevitably, in their mind,
the insecurity built all the way up to the tipping point.
And to be honest, you should break up with someone like that.
Wait, because they're so insecure.
Yeah. Because those are the type of people that I have been in a relationship with someone that was so insecure that they would cheat because. Not because that the person, like, they didn't love me or, like, they thought that person was better than me, but it was because they thought I'd eventually break up with them or cheat on them. So they, in their mind, that's how it was justified.
But that's why they really didn't love you, because that's not
love.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just infatuated with you.
They have their own psychological issues that they need to work through, and that's not someone that should be in a healthy, loving relationship. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be in a healthy, loving relationship with them.
This chick didn't love you, hottie.
So, in a way, you dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
And I get that you really cared about her, and that fucking sucks because I've been there when you care about someone and they haven't dealt with their issues yet. But it just wasn't the right time.
And listen, man, it's not going to be hard to get back on the horse, okay?
I mean, it sucks because if someone's like, hey, you get so much attention already, but it's like you didn't want attention from those other people.
No, true. But he's not going to have a hard time, getting back out there. I'll say that right now.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be pretty easy.
Sucks, dude. I feel you.
Clear waters,
especially
my friend.
Especially if you like that person for not vain qualities, you know, like where it's like, oh, I had a connection with this person. Like we like the same things. And it's harder to find those people than it is to find someone that's attractive.
Of course.
Yeah.
But so I'm bummed for him, but ultimately she proved her true colors by.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's not going to be hard for him to get back on the horse. You know what I'm saying?
That's so sick.
All right. Next question is...
Hey, we don't feel bad for you, by the way, hot guy.
Yeah, hottie.
Yeah.
Hottie with a body.
Sorry.
Go move your body somewhere else.
Yeah. Wherever
you move it. Keep it moving, six pack.
Yeah, Jesus. Wherever you move it, you're going to make the whole situation around you better. That's for sure.
Yeah. Suck it.
Yeah.
Okay, my boyfriend doesn't acknowledge my interests is the next question.
Okay.
My boyfriend always shares pictures of what he's doing, such as what he's eating or what games he's playing. just general interests, but recently whenever I share my interests in, for example, books, his immediate response is a joke.
Boring.
Boring. How come you don't watch or read what I tell you? Or an eye roll emoji. At first, I took it all as a joke and went along with it. But now that we're in quarantine and I'm more in tune with my interests, I'm starting to realize that his responses are upsetting me. There have been a few times where I asked him for movie suggestions and then end up not picking what he suggests. I understand his frustration about not wanting to do the things he likes, but I do acknowledge his suggestions. I feel like everything I share isn't validated or acknowledged by him, and I don't know if this is something I should shrug off or not. I believe that we should acknowledge one another's hobbies and interests even if we don't see any common ground. But every time I share something that I'm excited about, I always leave with the pain in my chest due to his responses. I try to tell him how I felt, and he just doesn't sound like he cares, or he tells me that I'm just overreacting. What do you guys think I should do? Thank you, Monica. Well, Monica.
Monica, I've been there, girl.
Break up.
It's time to break up. No, I'm kidding. No, I've been there, man, because...
Yeah.
For how long have I wanted to show you the movie Heat? It's my favorite movie.
You're spoiling things.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, go ahead. Talk about it.
Okay, so for years, everybody, I have wanted to watch the film Heat. Very famous movie, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. One of my favorite movies of all time. Okay, beautiful, beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that we have gone to watch it,
I fall asleep.
Nikki falls asleep very quickly. And eventually, it just gets to the point where I feel like vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
That she's gonna watch my favorite movie and, like, you know, judge it and stuff, but she keeps falling asleep, and so I'm like, well, I'm gonna protect my little movie, and I'm not gonna bring it up again.
But I didn't fall asleep on purpose.
No, I know, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, well, she can bring it up, you know. And then so I think this cat is trying to, he's like, you're like, what movie should I watch during quarantine? And he's like, oh, you should check this out, and we can connect over it and talk about it. And then you're like, I didn't watch it, and he's like, oh, well, I wanted to connect with you about it, you know, or whatever.
Maybe.
I think it opens a dialogue with your significant other if you guys can talk about the same thing. It's no different than when we go on a vacation together and we experience something and then we get to talk about it and check in with each other about
but
it.
Right, but I think it's the other way around in this situation. He's not acknowledging her favorite things or her interests.
I would love to hear more about that because just said books.
He's sending her eye roll emojis.
Well, yeah, but just if you just say books.
That's pretty immature.
What are the books?
Right, but it doesn't matter. She's excited to share something with him, and then he kind of just like, well, why didn't you do what I wanted to do?
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But that's excitement. The villainous way of casting that. I think that he is bringing up a subject matter that they could connect on and then maybe feeling rebuffed. And she's maybe. Obviously feeling rebuffed too. And they're both not meeting in the middle, right? So she's bringing up a book, and he's not like, oh, I'm going to buy that book, and I'll read it, and we'll talk about it, right? I think they're both doing this to each other.
He definitely feels resentful, maybe, because it's like when a friend asks you for advice, and then you continually give them advice, and then they don't take that advice.
Ugh, happens all the time.
Yeah, and so then when they come around next, and they are like, this is what I did instead of your advice, you're kind of like, whatever, fuck you then.
Right.
And so I get that part of it.
Right.
But I also think that it sucks if you're like excited to share something and then the person just kind of brushes you off.
Of course, always. Yeah. But I'm just saying there's a version of this question where we answer and go, fuck this guy, move on,
oh,
girl.
No. I'm not saying that. Yeah. I definitely like to explore both sides. But I guess the eye roll emoji really got me. I don't like anybody sending me eye roll emojis.
No, I agree with that.
Go fuck yourself if you send me an eye roll
emoji.
That
is mean. That is mean.
Don't you dare send me an eye roll emoji. I don't even know why they invented that emoji. It pisses me off.
Why did they invent it?
I think to eye roll at like people that are virtue signaling online.
Oh, right. True,
that's
true,
the
true.
Only appropriate time to use that emoji.
I agree with that.
All other circumstances, it's just mean.
So we hope that helps out there. I think the idea being, try to connect with them through one of these things. So if you watch the movie that he says to watch, and you tell him that you did that, you have moved the ball forward, right?
Right. Don't ask him for suggestions and then not do the suggestion.
You can't do the same thing to him.
Right.
The only thing she hasn't done that's similar is send him an eye roll emoji, right? But she so far has rebuffed his
It does sound, though, and this could... I haven't talked to him.
Yes.
But it does sound, though, that she said she tried to tell him how she felt and he doesn't sound like he cares or tells her that she's overreacting. And I don't think that's ever a nice thing to tell your partner
that they're overreacting
at something that makes them feel hurt.
That's the eyeball emoji of that people can make.
Exactly, yeah. Of communication and verbalness.
Sure.
And so I feel like...
It's just dismissive.
At least he they both could use some working on communication. And
you both have to step towards each other, right? It can't be one person. It's got to be both people trying to reach each other.
Yeah. And like, yeah, and valuing each other and acknowledging like what I feel like no emotion is invalid, you know?
True.
Emotions are weird, you know, they're illogical. And so telling your partner that they shouldn't feel a certain way or they're overreacting to something that's clearly upsetting them is not a way to handle it.
No.
But yeah, hope you guys work on it.
Yeah. See, we didn't just tell them to break up, see?
See? But this one says, should we break up as the title? Should I read that one?
I mean, we should just say yes and move on.
Now I kind of want... True. Should we break up? Oh, it's pretty long. So, yeah, you should.
Definitely
break up. All right, how about this one? He's an accidental fuckboy.
Oh, that's fun.
Hi, Iceman and Nikki. Love your podcast. It's the best out there. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Checking it.
Gonna make this short. I met a guy and we decided that we would be friends with benefits. There's a bit of an age difference. I'm 21 and he's 31, but there's chemistry and it's great. The only thing I find odd is that he's never been in a relationship ever. When we first met, he said, I don't want to be in a relationship and probably never will at this point. I find it very, very odd. And from my investigation and talking to his friend, his best friend, he's scared to be vulnerable and he has been boxed into what a relationship is due to his Judeo-Christian upbringing. I assume right now we're having fun. We meet a few times during before quarantine and now we phone and sext here and there. I know I can't change his mind, but I feel as though I still want to explore the relationship and better understand him. My question is, it's weird, right, that he hasn't been in a relationship? I don't think this ever will be one, but would I push him away if I brought up to face the fact that why would you want to leave Earth without having found a deep or a love or a deep relationship to grow with? I don't know how that question is supposed to be worded, but basically,
he's against relationships, and so
yeah.
he never wants to go deep enough.
And like, should this person continue to ask him why don't you want to?
Right, she wants to break him loose.
Thanks, gangs. Tons of love. Yeah. Honestly, you can bring it up, but not in an attacking way. If you just want to have a conversation where you're exploring how you feel about love, you're like your different viewpoints about love, then you're kind of more exploring the other person's side. But
if he's so rigid, though, what are you wasting your time for?
Exactly. Then that ultimately, it's like if they're just not on the same page as you when it comes to relationships, then
that sounds like something she very much wants. I mean, she just said that at the end of the sentence, she's like, don't you want a deeper da-da-da-da-da? That's what she wants. She's stating what she desires.
Leaving
this earth with a deeper connection with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what she ultimately desires.
Or he,
yeah. Right, of course. But this person who doesn't want to be in a relationship,
yeah,
they don't want to be in a relationship. So then if you want the thing that's all the way on the opposite spectrum to what they want, you guys are fucked already.
Totally. Like, that's not how a good relationship starts. Because if you do believe in, like, this deeper love and finding that relationship as someone to grow old with, you need to start from the same position.
Exactly.
You know?
You just need to be friends with benefits, and you're Justin Timberlake's, and then she is Mila Kunis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they ended up together, but so that's
about it. That's what I'm saying. They started at the same level. Hey, we're just going to do this as friends,
right? Right.
Like, hey, we're just going to get casual sex. Yeah, like, no big deal.
Don't change the rules midway.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a clear understanding, you guys have an agreement, you can't be the one to change the rules midway and be like, well, but why wouldn't you want it? Because
exactly.
That's not what they signed up for.
This was the deal.
Yeah. And it's, I guess, you might romanticize the idea of changing their mind somehow.
It's hot.
You could be the one that changes their mind. But it really isn't worth it in the long run.
It sweats, man. That idea sweats, right? It's all fucking breathy and hot.
Because it's like you're just trying to change someone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't want to be changed.
Maybe you're the bad guy.
And if they did want to change, maybe they could discover that on their own and like want to change. Maybe like after you guys stop being friends with benefits, they're like, oh, actually, I really had a connection and I kind of want to
do that,
you know?
Side note, what the fuck kind of Judeo-Christian is this cat?
Yeah.
Who's like, hey, I was raised Judeo-Christian. I don't want a relationship at all.
Well, maybe like...
Maybe they're like against...
Well, no, like because that's so centered around marriage and like having that be the foundation of everything.
Right. So yeah, they're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm going the anti that.
Yeah. I know a lot of people like that.
Oh, yeah.
That were like, I never want to be my parents.
Yeah.
So...
So like, my parents were homeowners. I'm never buying a house.
Yeah.
It's like, you can take it too far sometimes.
Right, totally.
And my parents owned a car that was that color. I don't want that color.
Yeah. I think everyone could benefit from therapy for sure. Mm. But but yeah, just not the right time. Not the right person, not the right time. I don't think I would push it. If you want to have a conversation about it to just know his points, but I wouldn't try to work on changing him.
No.
So good luck to you.
And watch Friends with Benefits.
I guess. Yeah, we're sponsored by Friends with Benefits. Friends with Benefits. It's a little late to be sponsored by them, but they're, you know, trying to push their
$1.99
on-demand.
Right now on Prime. Amazon yeah. Prime right now.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do the breakup one. Let's do it.
What breakup one?
The one that we skipped over.
Oh, should we break up?
Let's go ahead.
All right. It's a little lengthy, but we'll get through it.
We're going to get through it.
Hey, Nikki and Steve. Just wanted to say that I absolutely appreciate you guys' podcast. It's been great to listen to some honest advice and opinions, especially when it comes to relationships, because you guys seem to have a really healthy relationship, and I really admire that about you two. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask your guys' opinion about my relationship and if I should just come to terms that we should break up. Just a backstory, we met in college as freshmen, got into a relationship our sophomore year after being friends. We've been together for more than 5 years and have recently become officially long distance last August. We would spend our summers during college apart since I do live in Canada and he's from California. I got into grad school in SoCal near where he lived and where he found employment after we both graduated undergrad. Since finishing grad school, I've returned to Canada and been working to get a work visa so I can move to SoCal. Unfortunately, we're experiencing some problems in our relationship, which has left me questioning whether or not we should part ways. Ever since I left SoCal and went back home, he started becoming distant and told me that he was just getting busy with work and wanted to focus on making new friends amongst his coworkers in the area he recently moved to for his job.
Bad sign.
Yeah.
Bad sign.
He also revealed to me that he was experiencing some mental health issues and just felt tired all the time and felt like he couldn't talk to me about his problems. He has then developed a strong relationship with other girls in his life, which
sometimes
makes me feel like he's cheating emotionally, whom he felt he could open up to about his problems because they just understood him.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't gone through any significant life trauma or event that left me broken, so I probably wouldn't understand what he was going through. He told me that I had a pretty optimistic outlook on life and that he had a more negative outlook on life. We had made plans to get married, but he had told me that he had changed his mind and didn't know if he wanted to get married or have a family at all. He visited me during Christmas break where he had originally planned to break things off because he felt he needed to learn how to be happy alone. I asked him to give the relationship another try for the sake of everything we invested in it and that it wasn't fair that I was caught off guard by all these revelations because of how good he had been masking his mental health issues when we were physically together. We agreed to try again, but long distance has never been his forte and things have gone south.
Disaster.
He started to become distant again, would hardly text, and told me that he just wanted to put a wall up against everyone because he wanted to be alone. Oh. I've tried to be understanding and accommodating towards his actions because he's going through some mental health issues, but at times I feel like I'm just being stupid for putting up with being treated like shit.
You are.
Is it worth waiting out the dark times for your significant other, even if they completely shut you out of their life so they can deal with it on their own? I've tried to reach out and let him know that I'm always there and he doesn't have to go through this alone, but he's very stubborn. Should I end things knowing that it could add to the emotional burden he's already carrying? Sorry for sending a super long story. I've been super confused for the past few months and was looking forward to advice from people that could give honest advice. Thank you for reading this. If you made it this far, hope your podcast continues to grow.
Your relationship ended a long time
ago. It's been gone. Yeah.
And you haven't come to terms with it, and that's okay. And we forgive you.
Yeah. And you're like, but he's depressed. I need to be there for him. And
I get
how you could feel that way, but that's not what
this cat even tried to break up with you, and you're like, let's come to, hang on, this is an unfair situation for me to be in. Let's be reasonable. Give me more time.
We invested a lot of time in this.
You're looking back on the first time, the first good couple months or whatever it was of your relationship, and remembering all that shit and not reflecting how you're being treated now.
Or thinking about how many years you've invested in it and thinking like you deserve some sort of return on investment because of those years.
Sunk
and I'm
cost
sorry.
Fallacy.
I'm so sad to tell you. There is just no guarantee for return on investments and time that you put into relationships.
What are you getting out of this, man? Sounds like you're just getting beat up all the fucking time.
No, it's just you're just hoping that there's going to be a return eventually.
Uh-huh.
And there's just not. There's
you
just
sound like
not
a good person.
To.
We're rooting for you.
We are.
It's time to cut bait. It's
Absolutely.
Time to move the boat forward.
We want you to be happy.
Yeah. You've been sitting there getting no nibbles.
No.
It's time to move your fishing spot.
We know a lot of people that have been like this, too, that have been like, well, I've already put 5 years into it.
I know only people like that.
Yeah. I put at so many. I don't want the years to go to waste that we put into it. But right. I'm like, how many years you got left, though?
Exactly.
You got like 40, 50 years left. That's way more years than you put into the relationship. So, like, cut your losses now. Go find happiness and spend the rest of your life, the 40... whatever years, 50 years that you've got left.
I hope 60.
Being happy.
And
yeah.
And be happy. Yeah. But it's bye, girl. Bye. Bye, bye, Felicia. Bye.
Yeah. You definitely should break up.
Yeah.
And here he wants it.
He can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
He can't wait.
He's hoping by telling you he's tired all the time and like not returning your texts and stuff that you'll be like, damn, I'm being treated by like shit. I don't deserve this.
He doesn't have the stones to do it. So yeah. He's waiting for you to do it. That's it.
Well, he already tried to and it didn't work. So he's just waiting for you to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You'll see, because when you do it, he won't fight for it at all.
Nope.
So there you go, chick. We love you though. We're sorry.
I don't know. All right. How about this one? A very self-conscious college virgin. Please keep me anonymous. Okay. Hey, Nikki and Steve. Or should I say Icebreaker and Iceman? Thank you.
Icebreaker, nobody.
That's what they call me.
That's the first time somebody
called me. That's what they
call me. I don't know.
Well, they call me that.
Everyone calls me Iceman. Nobody.
I love the podcast. I saw you guys on JK and haven't stopped watching since. I love Big Mood too. But anyways, I'll get to the pathetic part now.
Yeah, don't talk about our competitor.
Thank you so much.
But thank you.
What?
That's our main competitor.
I'm a part of that. That's not a competition.
Please don't mention Big Mood on the show, please.
I love Big Mood. Can I just tell you what podcast
Mark, can we
I
cut
love?
That? Mark, we're going to cut that. Okay. All right. Got the thumbs up. Thank you.
I'm a 19-year-old college freshman who has only had two relationships in the past, quote unquote. Both were in high school and each one lasted about a month or two. Although both guys tried to make moves, I stopped them mid-makeout because back then I thought I had a fear of commitment, but now I realized that I had just had nothing in common with them and the chemistry just wasn't there. I felt the same way with almost every guy I've dated since and stopped when it got to making out because it felt like I was just kissing a brick wall. This was up until a few months ago when I met this guy on Tinder. Yeah, I know. We first started talking here and there when the second semester started, and we studied together a few times and went to the gym once too, which was a bad idea since he's a gym rat, but we didn't even kiss, so that's problem number one. However, after the virus kicked both of us out before the semester ended, we've been talking every day all day long and have been loving it, which is new to me since I've never done that with either of my exes. For context, he's a sophomore and had a girlfriend of 2 years. They broke up last summer, so I don't know if I should tell him we're barely even relationships or not. The even bigger thing is he doesn't know that I'm a virgin, and he jokingly made a comment before about college virgins being weird, and I just sat there and smiled like a fucking idiot.
That's great. Fantastic.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a red flag, but I don't know if I should bring
that
up again.
It's not a red flag because he hasn't thought that about you.
But she doesn't know.
But he's talking about a stereotype.
Yeah, he thinks you're one of
me. He thinks you're on the team.
Yeah.
You're fine, girl.
Okay. Plus, I know whenever we meet up after quarantine, shit's going to go down. So I don't know if I should tell him I'm a virgin or just go for it and pretend like I know what the fuck I'm doing. Also, side note, but I know someone else wrote about it, about having HS, hidradenitis suppurativa, on here before.
I was gonna say high school.
Same. Okay. And they were scared of hooking up because of it, too. I don't know if the scars will freak him out and if I should say something about that beforehand or
I remember that.
Let him mention it if he notices. Even though we both currently go to the same university, we live 3 hours away. Okay, we live 3 hours apart off campus, and he might be transferring schools next semester, so that's 1 hour away from our current campus. Because of that, I don't even know if we should continue this, but I've never felt connected to a guy so much before, so I'm stressing out. I wish I could give more context since there's a lot of unknowns, but I can already tell by how long this looks that Steve just wants me to shut up, so I'll leave it there.
Thanks, guys.
Looking forward to hearing from you.
You're awesome. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah.
That was actually a better long-winded one.
Yeah.
She told the story well.
Right.
I
get the insecurities.
Of course.
I don't think you should pretend you know what you're doing. I think that you should just reveal it in a cute way where it's like, hey,
lucky guy, I'm a virgin. I'm a fully tight chick.
Hey, so I didn't want to say this before, but...
I'm mouth virgin, butt virgin, pussy virgin. Maybe you should say it in that order.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe say it after you de-virginize your mouth.
Yeah. De-virginize your mouth.
I've never gone all the way before.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. That's pretty hot.
Maybe he'll think you're role playing.
But then
it's not really a lie. Because then afterwards you're like, yeah, that was my first time. And he's like, oh shit.
I don't get the treating virginity like it's a medical condition thing.
Yeah.
I think that people can just kind of have sex and then afterwards you'll be like, yo, I was a virgin. Maybe go for a high five. I don't get the medical condition
part. The fear is for the person that's not the virgin.
Right.
The fear is that the person losing their virginity, because you were there first, it now attaches this stronger, like more pressurized connection.
Sure.
Where they get clingy.
But everyone's first is never their last. Well, unless you live in certain places and you have certain beliefs. But
yeah.
But which is fine too. But I have noticed a lot of people that I know, almost everyone that I know, doesn't marry their first.
Sure, but so for the virgin, a lot of people carry this, you know, weight that it's like they want to save it for someone special. So then when they lose it, they're like way more attached to that person, and maybe that person wasn't ready for that much attachment.
Of course. Yeah. I totally get
that. So that's the fear.
But so
that's the stigma that goes with virginity.
That's the stigma, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that she doesn't have to reveal that she's a virgin pre-fucking.
No, but she doesn't also have to pretend that she's super experienced.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the, like, what do I pretend I know what I'm doing? Yeah.
True.
I think just, because I can't really remember, like, because I lost my virginity to someone that was also a virgin, it was like very explorative.
Me too.
Like, but is this what, you know, we were both dumb. Like, we were both like, is this how we do it? I don't know. It's not working or whatever. And so we were able to talk each other through it. So I don't know how I would be if it was like I wasn't allowed to talk through it. You know, I feel like I would want to be with someone that knew I was a virgin so that they would understand like when I'm not doing things correctly. Or like when I'm not doing things the way they're used to people doing things, you know?
Yeah, but I think that comes through a relationship.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And like, so it depends on what you want.
Yeah.
Like if it's like evolving into a relationship and like he's ready for sex and he starts making a move, then you can bring it up. Yeah. I think it's okay to bring it up. But obviously do it with what you're comfortable with and what feels right in the moment. Like I don't want it to be like this awkward, like, first we must talk about my virginity.
Yeah, like,
you know, you don't have to do
like,
that.
That's like me, like, and you sitting down before we had sex and being like, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, here's what I like, here's what I like. It's so weird.
Sure.
And nobody does that. So I think you'll be fine just to play, let it go, go with the flow.
Or if something, like, maybe go with the flow, and then if something, like, feels off, like, he's like, what are you doing? You know, or whatever.
Yeah, but she's not going to start biting his dick
or
anything.
I know, that's what I can't, I'm trying to think of worst case scenarios
she's
here.
She's seen porn and seen, I'm sure she's seen sex things.
Yeah.
She's not going to go in there and, like, just start fucking putting her butt on his head
or
anything.
Well, porn is not a good indicator of how you should act in bed, but,
no,
but yeah.
What I'm saying, though, is that she'll probably know how to jerk a dick or whatever she's doing.
Right.
Like, she's not going
to. I don't know.
She's not just going to start slapping it.
He had to show me how to jerk a dick because I didn't know that it was like this with the skin around it.
Oh, right.
Like, I thought that you had to fully, like, I don't
know. That's why you do it so good.
If you've never jerked a dick, it's hard to explain how to jerk a dick.
No, that's very fair.
Yeah.
Well, look, just go with the flow.
Yeah,
that's my advice.
Go with the flow. Don't overthink it.
Immediately try to put your fingers up
don't
his butt.
Don't lie.
Try to put your fingers up his butt. He'll love it. He'll fucking love it.
Don't listen to Steve.
No, I'm talking from minute one. As soon as you guys start kissing, try to get your fingers in his
shut
butt.
Shut up.
He'll fucking love it.
That's so mean.
He'll try to marry you.
He doesn't. She doesn't know.
I'm fucking around. She knows. She knows I'm kidding. She's listening to the show. She knows
she
me.
She might fucking try
it. Oh, come on. Okay. All right. Don't do that. But that's what I'm saying. She's not so inexperienced that she'll just completely
no,
fuck
I know,
up. Like,
I know.
I love Lucy all over his body.
I was trying to think of worst case scenario.
Right.
Like, her worst case scenario is him being like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst case. That's the most embarrassing thing that someone could ask
so
during
funny,
sex.
The idea
and
that she's going to, I love Lucy all over the place, start tripping and falling on his body.
But
is
if
so
something
stupid.
Did happen that way, or like, well, for me, I didn't know that the dick didn't just go in right away. Like, for me, it was really tight. It was, like, very hard to break that.
Right.
And I was not successful losing my virginity the first two times I tried it.
Right.
And so...
well, let's hope she's not that tight for her sake.
I don't know.
She's much looser.
So another worst case scenario is you could just start crying out of pain because you're not used to experiencing that.
Oh, yeah. And you could be like, sorry, it's just so goddamn big. And, you know, he's not exactly going to bitch about that, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I just think that... if it were me personally losing my virginity, I would have to say something beforehand so that the other person's a little bit more gentle with me.
I fully get that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying even not to do that. I'm just saying do
just
what
go
it
go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Like
of
if
course.
It feels right to bring it up, it doesn't seem too awkward or you don't have to build the moment up and be like, sit down, I need to tell you something.
This is my special moment.
So
I'm giving
a
you my garden.
Right. It's not exactly. That builds everything up so high.
Yeah.
And like the standards and the tension's high.
Like I think if you're in the moment and you're like, then that's
sure.
It's like in the moment.
It's kind of hot, yeah. And maybe that'll work out for you. I mean, honestly, if I was sitting across from a chick and she's like, "I'm a virgin," I'd be like, "Let's go, dude. I'm gonna break your fucking back. Let's do this shit."
What? Just any chick right now?
No,
any chick right now that says you're a virgin? She's a virgin?
No, you. We talk like in parlances.
I will get you.
You'll catch me slipping.
I'll catch you, green.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't know you thought that was hot. I thought you just like the slutty sluts.
I do like the slutty sluts, but I like the I like it when you're very tight.
Oh,
as well.
True. I was like, ooh, I didn't want to tell you, but I've just never done it before.
Sure, I'm into that. I'll fucking wreck you.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
There's some dirty talk for the first chick.
All right. Well, I hope that was helpful, everybody. If you're out there, you're in a relationship, you're happy, you're thriving, please break up. We'd like you to break up.
We really want it.
We like to destroy.
Don't send us your wedding pictures. Stop sending us wedding pictures. We don't
we
want to see
you,
the weddings.
Send us your divorce pictures.
Thank you. You can send us your wedding pictures if you send your divorce pictures with them.
Yes.
Thank you.
So don't send them for like at least a few months after marriage.
Right. And people who are inviting us to weddings, stop inviting us to weddings. We go there and we tell you to break up at your wedding.
Yes.
Stop inviting us.
We'll be the person that stands up and is like, speak now or forever hold your peace. We're like, hey.
Hi, Steve and Nikki.
Hi. You guys need to break up?
Yeah, please break up. Jesus. You don't want us at your wedding, trust.
Yeah. But you do want to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And check us out on Patreon because we do bonus episodes every month. It's patreon.com/sticky.
And we have the sickest Discord group on there.
We do.
We love those people.
We fucking love our Discord peeps. And we do live streams once a month, actually twice a month now that we've been in quarantine.
True.
And there's a bunch of extra bonus stuff on there. Go check it out. We love you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
I hope your quarantine's going okay. Hope this helps a little bit.
And if you're a couple listening to this, I want you to look at each other and say, I'm breaking up with you. Thank you.
And then fuck.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Makeup sex? Ooh, so good.
Bye.
Bye.